Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey, this is Megan from Casket Robbery, and we are so stoked to be returning to Milwaukee Metal Fest this year. You can catch us on Sunday, May 19th, along with Stabbing, Monochromatic Black, It Dies Today, Exhumed, Dead by Wednesday, Hate Creeper, Skeletal Remains, and so, so, so many more. So grab your tickets today and come hang out with us. We'll see you soon.
What is going on, everybody? Thanks for joining the show today. We got Josh Todd from Buckcherry, and it is episode 697. Thank you for all the nice feedback and all the subs. We got 100 new subs. That's great. Like, subscribe, hit the bell, whatever you got to do. Comment on YouTube. Keep the comments coming. Got a lot of comments on the Tim Lambesis episode, and we're going to have episode part two of that episode coming at you soon. I've just been slammed busy trying to get ready for this Milwaukee Metal Fest and for the big Texas Metal Fest with Hatebreed. Those are the next two big 30th anniversary shows that we got coming up for Hatebreed. And thank you all if you've gotten some of the leftover merch from the big Oakdale show or from the LDB Fest in Kentucky. If you missed out on those, we are going to replenish some of the sizes. Go to martyrstore.net and you'll see that the VIPs for the upcoming 30th anniversary tour in the fall with Hatebreed, Carcass, Harm's Way, and Crypta, those VIPs are up. And we're adding VIP upgrades for Milwaukee Metal Fest every day. We just added the Doro VIP, and we're going to be adding a bunch of the undercard bands. We added Autopsy. We added Overkill. You'll see it all there, martyrstore.net. Use the code JJ10. That's JJTEN at martyrstore.net. Of course, Milwaukee Metal Fest is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com. Cannot thank them enough. They're going to have a huge setup over there. And we will be announcing, depending on what day you're listening to this or watching this on YouTube, we will be announcing the set times any minute now. So check the Indie Merch Store socials, or you can just head on over to IndieMerchStore.com after the podcast today and get a whole bunch of great new merch. They just restocked everybody that's on that Chaos and Carnage tour, which is like Carnifex, Cattle Decapitation, Vitriol, you know, who we just had Kyle on the podcast. He was great. The Humanity's Last Breath, the lineup stack. Go to IndieMerchStore.com, use the code JOSTA10, and then follow them on all their socials. Tell them Josta sent you. Also got a shout out, Dunable Guitars. They are presenting this year's Milwaukee Metal Fest, and you can get your favorite new riff stick right now when you go to their website and use the code MMF24 to save 10% off until May 20th. So step your riff game up, Buster. Get a new axe from Dunable Guitars ASAP and make sure you support them, because they're not only presenting Milwaukee Metal Fest with us this year, but we're going to have a bunch of their artists on the show, and we're going to have a bunch of their artists on the podcast coming up. Also got to thank Century Media Records, the legendary Century Media Records, who've been putting out a ton of great bands and supporting the festival since we came back. And right now, you can go to centurymedia.store. I'm sure Mike will put up the website so you can see all the new releases, but they're just killing it. They've had so much success lately with bands like Lorna Shore and Night Demon and Bewitcher, who we got on the festival. Skeletal Remains is on the fest, Upon Stone. Lacuna Coil, you know, gothic tinged metal legends. They're back in the U.S. on a tour. They're absolutely killing it. They got New Year's Day and Oceans of Slumber, and they're going to be appearing May 19th at Milwaukee Metal Fest. So support centurymedia.store. They've legends in the game. 35 years of diversity and extremes behind them. Century Media Records continues to set the standard for modern metal. centurymedia.store. All right. patreon.com/josta for bonus content. GasDigital.com. Get that sub. Support the network. And yeah, we got Josh Todd from Buckcherry. Enjoy the show.
It's the Josta Show!
My friend, the lead singer of Hatebreed, the infamous and notorious Jamie Josta, is in the building.
That's what's up.
Jamie Josta from the metal band Hatebreed. That guy's famous.
Coffee, death metal, and push-ups.
That's Jamie Josta. Remember Jamie Josta? You know him. He's a podcaster, but he's also a metal man.
I would say, you eat that.
That shit is hard.
You're hard.
All right, welcome to the show. We got Josh Todd, frontman of Buckcherry. in the house. Last time I saw you was at an award show. I think it was the Kerrang Award show that I hosted.
And wow, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, but you guys killed it. And
thank you.
I think it was the one with Ace, right? There was two. I hosted one in House of Blues and one in like London.
Wow. I can't remember. I'm sorry.
It's all right. But it's, as you were playing, I thought, you know, this is just great old school rock and roll, like just straight up rock and roll. And I know it was more of a metal show, but yeah, the audience knew the hits, like they knew it. And it was really cool to see the metal audience kind of get down with, you know, the rock band of the night. But does it go vice versa? Like, what metal do you get down with?
Metal? Oh, wow.
If any.
I don't know. I mean, do you consider Slipknot metal? I don't know. I really like Slipknot. I really got into Slipknot. I kind of missed a whole boat on them. And then I had a merch guy, actually. His name is Bubba. And he was like really into Slipknot. He was from Iowa. And he's like, I was like, I don't know. I missed the whole thing. Tell me why it's great. And he's like, you gotta watch Disaster Pieces. So I watched it and I was like, fuck, man, this is so incredible. Like I really got invested in every aspect of how cool they were. You know, I really liked the lyrics. It was very dangerous in my opinion, you know, and I hadn't seen a band that had really kind of intimidated me for a while. And, when I saw the crowd react to them, it was like, they have their own, like, they had their own little planet that they were on, you know, and they still do, you know? And I just thought it was amazing. And I became an instant fan. And then I started really digging in deep to their first record. And I really like Iowa. That's my favorite record. And then, you know, we got an opportunity to be on stage with them and Deep Purple and us in Japan, you know, and Slipknot was headlining. And I got to be side stage and it was like fucking just amazing, you know? And so as far as metal, that's like what I was into when I was a kid. You know, I grew up in Orange County, California. So all my first records were independent punk rock records. So I didn't get into really mainstream rock till I was like 17. That was the first time I like heard a mainstream rock record. And, you know, and it was like Led Zeppelin and Metallica and like, you know, the Cult and Aerosmith and stuff like that. That's what I was into. But AC/DC's Back in Black kind of like got me. That was my first introduction to like kind of like big rock. And I was like, oh, I can get down with this, you know? And then I started really digging in, but I'm just a music fan in general. You know, I like all genres of music. So, yeah, that's where it's at. Maybe that was too much, but,
No, that was great. I appreciate the West Coast punk stuff too. And like a lot of it, I got into that later on. I really started appreciating that once we did Warped Tour with Hatebreed and did those like European festivals where they mix it up and they'll have like Hatebreed and Slipknot on one stage, but then have Bad Religion and Pennywise and those bands on the other stage. And even on Warped Tour, like 98, when we did it, there was like Unwritten Law and bands like that, where even though it wasn't my thing that I grew up loving, I respected what they did. And I realized that you could have a hit and it could just be like an underground hit, not on MTV or maybe not on the radio, but on like the college radio, like NoFX and Pennywise, especially. I forget the name of the one song, but it almost had like a metal influence too, which was cool. Yeah. Like metallic kind of, but that dude, I was like, all right, this is the guy I avoid because the guitar player, dude, I was like, if we are around this dude, there's going to be problems. So we just watched it from afar and kind of loved his wildness, if I could say. But have you had an experience with him?
You know, they've always been really complimentary to Buck Cherry and those guys. We played like a few shows with them, one in Europe where they were on the Warped Tour and we were on some other stage with a lot of metal bands. And I think it was what it was that it was like Hellfest or something. And then the Warped Tour was right there too. And they came over and watched us side stage. And I've always had a good experience with all those guys. Of course, I don't, you know, I don't hang out late night. I don't hang out with a lot of people that party all the time. So I'm kind of far removed from that. So I never ever see people when they get into that phase where they become crazy, you know. So that being said, they've always been nice to me.
Right on. Now, the stuff that you grew up listening to, is it the stuff like prior to that, like the DIs and the TSOLs?
Yeah. I'm an old dog. I'm 52. So like the punk rock I listened to was like the Toy Dolls, you know, 7 Seconds, the Ramones, you know, Social Distortion, Black Flag, you know, I can get really deep into Rudimentary Peni and Doggy Style and DI. And my sister went out with the drummer of DI for a while. He lived with us. And yeah, all my first shows were at Long Beach, Fender's Ballroom. But all my first shows were at Fender's Ballroom in Long Beach. So I saw the Ramones there, you know, this band called Blast from Northern California. I saw this band SNFU, and they had this singer. There's so many great frontmen in all these bands that I'm talking about, you know. And so that's kind of where it all started for me.
Right on. Yeah. I talked to that singer. I saw SNFU at this is back in probably 92, 91. I talked to that singer outside of the show and everything. And I thought, wow, you could just walk up to these shows and just talk to the dude. I'm glad you brought him up, because that was like one of the first people I met, like in a band, was that dude outside the show.
I think his name's Chi Pig or Chi. Maybe that, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but yeah, he is a great frontman.
Yeah, rest in peace. I think he's passed on. But that was like a big deal for me, thinking I could just go up to this venue, because there was a venue by my house.
Yeah.
And I would ride my bike there. And I thought, wow, you could just go up and talk to the bands. That was the appeal of the punk and hardcore shows, was that they would just, I'm like, wow, they load their gear. But Ramones, I saw them at Toad's place. They were in a van, and that blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because this was around Brain Drain, which I know some fans kind of, you know, thumb their nose up at. But I love that record. Like, Brain Drain is my jam, and the hits. Yeah. But does any of those bands like inspire you musically? And do you, when you're writing with the Buckcherry guys, like, do you try to all have your sort of past influences come in? How do you, like, what is the writing process nowadays?
Absolutely. I mean, all those bands you mentioned, like all the old school punk rock bands, they were all on independent labels. And the only way they could get people to get popular was to write songs that you could remember, those chanting choruses. And they had a lot of hooks. They were really great. You know, they weren't on the radio. So like that's how they got people to like get to their shows and to get popular. And, so you can hear all my punk rock influences all over Buckcherry, you know. I think that's what makes it unique, you know. Like when the band first started, you know, I had my whole punk rock foundation. And then, you know, when I met up with Keith, you know, he was more into all that old school rock, you know, more the classic rock, you know, like the Stones and Aerosmith and all those bands. And I didn't really, you know, come from that school, but it all translated because it was just straight up, you know, guitar, bass, drums, you know, rock driven band. And we just wanted to be happy. You know what I mean? We had been in our own situations outside of prior to getting together, and had some hard knocks as far as dealing with other musicians and, you know, the industry and everything. And then it just came down to doing stuff that made us feel good, you know, and then staying out of the results, you know? So, that's how it all started. And, you know, it's always about, for me, I write all the lyrics and melodies and some of the music, and like, it's just about writing songs that you can remember and that I can attach my own personal self to, so that I can continue to sing them over and over and really own them and be passionate about it. You know, I mean, that's the trick of songwriting, you know, in my opinion, you know? And so, that's what it is.
And will you come up with a melody first and try to fit the lyrics into it? Or do you make the words that you already have or the lyric that you already have into a melody by trying it a couple different ways?
Yeah, I get this question a lot. I mean, it happens all different kinds of ways, you know. I've always had a knack for writing words, you know? So, I mean, before I got in a band, I was really into creative writing, and I would just write, and I would write poetry, and I would just write. And so when I got to the band situation, sometimes it starts with just some music. I'll get some music and I'll just sit back and I'll go, how does this make me feel? Like, what kind of emotion does this bring up? And if it brings up like an aggressive, angry type, an emotion, like, you know, maybe more aggressive music, then I write from that, you know, standpoint. And then, you know, sometimes I'll just be in the shower. I come up with a lot of melodies in the shower, and I'll be in the shower and I'll come up with like a really good hook, and I don't want to forget it. And I get out of the shower and I got my iPhone and I record, you know, something there. Sometimes I'll write an entire song with just words and melodies. And then I'll sing it to Stevie, and I'll be like, okay, this is what I want. This is the song. I'll just get a tempo and I'll sing it down. And then I'll say, I want it to sound like the Beatles meets Buckcherry. I want this song to sound like Hysteria meets Buckcherry, you know, like stuff like that, you know. And that's how songs will somehow just start happening and unrolling, you know. It's a fun process, you know.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm in a free agent phase right now, where we could go and sign to whatever label we want. And
right.
The game has totally changed, as I'm sure you're more than aware of, but there's still A&R, you know, there's still A&Rs, there's still label reps and stuff. And to me,
right,
I don't want to go shop a record. If we were going to do a traditional deal, but when the last time you guys were in this, because I had heard, you know, you were going to be switching record labels, right? And I think at the company Razor and Tie at this around this time. And they were going to have some meeting and listen to some of your songs. Do you go in now and like shop, or you say, yo, we're fucking Buckcherry. We got hit after hit. Like, just tell us what the budget is. We'll pick the producer. Like, what is the process?
The process is like it was way back in the day when labels, you know, if you're like, I look at Buckcherry as, we've been the black sheep of rock music since we started. We've never been in the mainstream of rock since we started, if you can believe that. You know, like when we came out, it was all rap rock and what I call shoegazer rock, you know, I don't know what you call it, like nerd rock, where they were wearing Buddy Holly glasses and looking down at their shoes, and they didn't want to be rock stars and all that. So there was all that going on. We didn't fit into any type of situation, you know, and thank God it all worked out, you know, where we got some songs that popped and we can still do this, you know, 25 years later. So the thing is that active rock radio has been around for so long now, and we don't fit into that whole formula as far as how we sound and everything. And so we just had to shift gears as far as how we market our record. We don't go to rock radio anymore because it doesn't mean anything. Even when we do, when we throw all this money at it and we climb up the charts and do all this thing, it doesn't really translate in record sales. I'm sure you're understanding that as well, you know? So, what we do is we throw everything into internet marketing, you know, and that's what a lot of bands are doing now, you know, and when we when we lay out a record, you know, it's like people are dropping like four songs before the record even comes out, you know what I mean? And it's all about content, and, you know, so we make videos for very cheap and we get them out there. So we have a lot of content, and of course, you know, we based our reputation on our live show. And so we're always out there hustling, you know, touring, and, you know, that's where you make money as a rock band is not to get, you know, too into the money aspect of it, but it is a business, and, you know, that's where it's all at for us, you know. Now, other bands, you know, that may fit into more of a active rock radio format, I'm sure it would be a whole different type of rollout, you know, but that's the way we do it.
Right on. So there's not this emphasis of like, you got to have a single to go to whatever the format is. Now, I know active rock is not your thing nowadays, but there was a point where I remember going, like, cause we would get played at like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. on like the metal specialty show. And I do remember going and seeing like your gold records and, you know, at certain stations.
Yeah.
I know some now, and even now we have a station here by me where you guys are
played multiple times throughout the day on classic rock stations.
That's awesome. Which is, yeah, see, classic rock. That's funny.
Which is incredible. But they play Papa Roach too, and they play like Stained as classic rock, which is wild to me. Right. The same station actually had Foghat play at like a furniture store the other morning. And I guess great. It was awesome. Like people, I'm like, wow, I could probably do a 9 a.m. I could do a 10 a.m. Foghat show. That's more my speed because I don't, you know, I'm in your boat. Like I don't drink, I don't party. But
hey, everybody, quick interruption letting you know today's episode is brought to you by Century Media Records. We cannot wait to have all their bands on the Milwaukee Metal Fest May 16th through 19th. I'm talking about Bewitcher, Night Demon, Skeletal Remains, Upon Stone, Lacuna Coil, and more. Head on over to centurymedia.store and get all the killer new releases. CMR continues to set the standard for modern metal. Last year, we had Napalm Death on the fest. We had Sanguisugabog, Frozen Soul. I mean, the list goes on of just incredible releases that they got. One of my favorites, Night Demon, they're kicking it off with us with Blind Guardian on the May 17th, the Friday. Then we got Skeletal on the Sunday, Lacuna on the Sunday. We got Bewitcher on there, Upon Stone. Like I said, centurymedia.store to get all these great releases. Big thanks to Century Media Records for not only supporting and sponsoring this year's Milwaukee Metal Fest, but for supporting the Jostice Show. Centurymedia.store. While I have you, if you want to get a meet and greet of any of your favorite artists at Milwaukee Metal Fest, head on over to martyrstore.net and get your VIP upgrade. We will be adding some other packages very soon. By the time you see this or hear this, check it out and use the code JJ10. That's JJTEN over at martyrstore.net. Link is in the show notes. Now back to the show.
But do you, when you hand the record into the label, do you still have those conversations like, oh, this is the single, or we're going to, you know, focus this to TikTok or YouTube video algorithm or what have you?
Listen, I'm always thinking about writing songs that hit songs. I want a hit record. I want a record that's great from beginning to end. That's what I'm always thinking about. I always think about our songs getting on the radio, being at a sporting event, being on a commercial, all that stuff. You know, that's always on my mind. Listen, it's changing at such a rapid pace. You know, by the time we release a record typically about every 2 years, you know, so it's changing so rapidly that when we sit down to market a record, something may have changed and we may like want to do this or that, you know. We really focus on Spotify now, and you know, it's amazing because like when we go to shows now, we have a lot of young people at our shows. Our demographic now is like 15 to like 65, you know, and it's like, it's really cool to see all these kids. And I always say to them, like, hey, how did you start hearing Buck Cherry? Like, you were on a playlist on Spotify. And then I just started digging in and I saw you guys had all these songs. And then they like really, they like all these songs that are off the beaten path that aren't singles. And it's really cool. It's kind of back to where it was when I was a kid, you know, as far as like, you know, kids would go to the record store and they would find stuff that they liked. And we would make bootleg records where we had just cassettes, and we would go, like, if I didn't have a record, I'd go to my friend's house and I would record some of his records on a cassette and make a little compilation. And you know what I mean? And I want to think that that's what's going on digitally, you know, on Spotify and other streaming formats, you know?
For sure. Yeah. I think Good Time. Maybe it was that I got in the algorithm on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, and the video was cool. And then, I recognized the name. We did a record I executive produced. We just did a video with Tom Flynn. You did that video, I think, with Mike and Tom. And Tom's cutting together a trailer for us for a festival. So shout out to Tom Flynn. But yeah. I thought,
yeah, yeah, he was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun for sure. I'm sorry, I didn't cut you off.
Oh no, all good. I went down the rabbit hole of the recent stuff. Like I think it was Hellbound and everything, which I know that's much older, but that one was also served up in the algorithm. And I thought, if you're a young kid, you could then, if you like this song, you could then go to your Apple Music or Spotify, depending what you have, and stream it as well. So say you get a million, you know, whatever, 300,000, 500,000, a million views on YouTube, that could also translate into streaming. And then, like you said, hopefully they come out and buy a ticket.
Yeah.
But just being served that video in the algorithm, I thought, this is it is like the back to the old days where a good song just prevails. You don't have to have the high powered marketing team or the high powered manager or the big booking agent. A good song will travel, and then hopefully you can, you know, organically see those benefits.
It will, you know, if you get a song that reacts to the people always know, you know, they always know when they're hearing something that's honest and real and cool and, you know, and it reacts, you know, it still does to this day, you know, it may not, as far as our genre goes, it may not be as big as like, you know, some of these rap artists. My son, you know, I love hip hop, you know, and my son, well, he's 15 and he's like, Dad, I want you to hear some of the stuff that I like. And I'm like, okay, play something, you know, and he'll play me this shit. Like, I swear to God, it'll be like a beat. And some guy sounds like he's just like fucked up on his bed, just like talking. And I'll be like, this sucks, man. And he goes, and my son will go, yeah, it sucks. It's got like over a billion like streams or like over a million streams, Dad. And I'm like, well, over a million people like a shitty song, I guess. I don't know. This, I don't get it. You know, I tell him, I go, I don't fucking get it. It's so funny.
I think I can guess the song too, or multiple songs.
I mean, I tell him, my son's name is Jack. I go, Jack, you should use your youth right now. And, you know, sometimes I'll give him beats. I'll make beats and he doesn't do anything with them. I go, just do something and you could just get rich right now, you know, and set yourself up, you know, because this is fucking bullshit, man. You can do this, you know.
That's awesome that you make beats. What do you make them on?
Logic. I just Logic Pro on my laptop. I'll make beats, so I'll just do whatever, you know.
So any
I love making beats.
Aspiring rappers can hit you up. Like, where could they find you if they want to?
I don't know if I'm making beats that good, but you know, I wanted to get him in the rhythm of like writing songs, you know. I wanted to show him how to write songs, and he just wouldn't do it. And he's got the talent because he's a very talented boy, but he just doesn't have that drive. It's not what he wants to do. And that's cool. I just let him do his thing. You know, I want him to do what he wants to do, you know?
Right on. Yeah. My daughter's 25 and I'm always saying, you don't want to be in this music shit. Believe me, it's too much of a grind. Like, she did do a funny, she's in a comedy like troupe that they do a bunch of comedy shows and improv and stuff. She did do a comedy song recently where she had asked me about structure, like I'm going to do verse, then a chorus and a verse, but then I got to do another part. And I'm like, oh, a bridge. You want to do a bridge? And we tracked it to a beat, which was fun. But that's cool that you get down with hip hop too, because I, you know, I've collaborated with a bunch of those artists. And I still get hate mail about it just because I think maybe some metal or hardcore fans are still a little closed-minded with it. But it would be nice to see that genre go back to being more elevated and more conscious of the lyrical aspect. And not that there isn't, because I know that there's a lot of backpack rappers and lyrical stuff out there that's really cool.
Yeah.
But... Yeah. I mean, in the commercial realm, like make it commercially competitive or commercially, not competitive, but I guess a quality that they would maybe play on the radio, but I don't know. The people in charge, I doubt want that. They probably want something more, not politically conscious to play. That's just like about, you know, wet ass pussy or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I like it that you collaborated with hip hop, you know, because just do it. Don't worry about anybody's bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, I am fascinated with hip hop structure and how they do it and how they put it all together, because it's so like you listen to a hip hop song like by 21 Savage or like Drake or, you know, like and it's like, man, the hooks are very clever, and it's like it's really hard to make a song amazing that is just over one beat basically the whole song, you know, for 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And the way that they do it is really just interesting to me, you know, because I can't do it. And so it's like, I really like it, and it's really interesting to me. So I study it, you know, and just like I study hit songs, I like study the structure of how these guys put it all together. And I just think it's really cool. At some point I'd like to do an electronic record, not necessarily like hip hop beats, but I like electronic music too, you know, just like throwing hooks in there and stuff and having like, you know, a good electronic producer, like do it. And it would be a lot of fun for me, you know, and collaborate with a lot of different artists. I would love that, you know. I got to do guest spots on DJ Muggs's record a long time ago, and I really enjoyed it, you know, and so it'd be cool.
Shout out to Muggs. That's awesome. I'll have to check the track. Did you do a verse and a hook, or did you sing the hook, or what was the collaboration?
I did two whole songs, you know. One of them's called The Rain Song. You can check that out.
Great. So what's the dream collab, or what would be an electronica producer or an EDM type of collab that you'd want to do?
Oh, electronic. I don't know a lot about the producers' names. I mean, the dream collab for me as far as artists would be Bruno Mars. If I could do a song with Bruno Mars, that would be amazing. You know, I think that he's like one of the most talented guys in the game. You know, he's just so incredibly talented. And somebody just sent me Instagram of Bruno Mars singing at a wedding, doing an Alicia Keys song before he popped. Right. And he is fucking killing it, man. And I was just like, man, yeah, I've just seen so many great performances by that guy. And he's just such a talented songwriter and musician and performer, you know, it'd just be great.
Right on.
I'd like to do something with him electronically, and that'd be cool.
Okay. So not necessarily a rock track. What if he was like, oh, I want to get down on a Buck Cherry song though. I want to go straight rock.
I would love that. That would be easy. That would be easy. You know, any rock stuff would be easy for me, you know. I like any genre of rock. I love collaborating with and writing with artists, and you know, that'd be cool.
You've pretty much done the bucket list tours, right? Like you've toured with Kiss, you've toured with pretty much every yep. band under the sun. Is there anybody left that you want to hit the road with?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's incredible that is what's happened. You know, we're 25 years now. We're about to start writing our 11th record. It's crazy. You know, yeah, Kiss, you know, I got to play with our, you know, the rock and roll fantasy was we did like 4 shows with AC/DC back in the day. That was unreal. And, you know, we've got to do like little festival stuff with like really cool bands like Slipknot, like I was telling you. And I mean, I would love to play with Rage Against the Machine, but their audience would probably chew us alive, you know. I don't know. I mean, I like it. I like going into situations where it's very hostile, you know, for Buck Cherry. So, you know, that being said, I like the challenge of playing with anybody who's up there, you know. I mean, I just love doing this. And if there's a lot of asses in the seats, I want to be in front of them, you know, so like whatever that means.
So if you got an offer to do a different genre, but a big, you know, like a big artist, an arena tour or a stadium tour, you would take
it. Yeah.
Right.
Fuck
on.
Yeah, man. In a second.
Yeah, I think I would too, just for the story. Like, cause when you're opening for AC/DC, I mean, the stories alone, I mean, what do? Do you go by Angus's dressing room? Are you taking in what they got at catering? Are they allowing you? Did they squash you? Like, did they give you stage room? Did they say no lights?
I'll tell you, you know, the reason why AC/DC was like so awesome is because those dudes are legit, man. They gave us full PA. They wanted us to just do what we love. And we had full PA, and they weren't worried about it. And like, you know, every time we're in a situation where it's somebody else's tour, we're very respectful. We just go in, we stay out of everybody's way. We go on time, we get off on time. You know, we try not to bug anybody, you know, and then as the tour goes along, you know, we start, you know, interacting with everybody, and then you start kind of meeting and hanging out. But that being said, you know, our last show was Madison Square Garden, and we wanted to hang out with AC/DC if it was possible, but no pressure, you know, and they're like, yeah, they can come into the dressing room at Madison Square Garden. And so we like, okay, we did our show and everybody did their show, and we go in the dressing room, and I'm sitting next to Angus on the couch, and I don't want to like blow his cover, but I'm sure he's talked about it, but he's been like sober his whole career, you know? And so I've been sober a long time. I've been, you know, talked about it many times, but I'm 29 years clean at this point. But I got to sit next to him, and his wife was like making us tea, hot tea. And Brian Johnson's just like walking around the room telling jokes, and everybody's in there, the whole band, you know, and our whole band. And we're just all kind of just sitting around shooting the shit. It was like, I can't fucking believe this, my inner voice, you know? And I'm sitting next to Angus, and we're just talking about his life. I'm just asking him questions about his career, and he was just so lovely. And they let us like take pictures and video. And it was like, it was really cool. It was like the rock and roll fantasy come true. You know, like sometimes you meet your heroes. And I don't like to talk shit about anybody, because everybody has a bad day. But, you know, maybe somebody was having a bad day and you're like, ugh, that wasn't like I thought it was going to be. But whatever, you know, you got to give people, you know, everybody's a human being, you know. So but that particular moment was like the be all end all. It was amazing.
I bet, especially at that venue, too. That's like the white whale for me. That's the one I'm like, just let me play once before I'm done with this. That must have been incredible.
It was incredible.
And so why was it just four shows? Was it a short run, or did they have multiple different support acts?
Yeah, they had multiple different support acts. Everybody wants to be with AC/DC, of course. And we were just happy to get a week with them. You know, it was amazing. And, you know, as far as Kiss is concerned, we did a month on our first record with them in Europe, and then we did a month in the States later on, a few years later, and that was incredible too. You know, it was just amazing. Rock and roll fantasy come true for sure.
And did Gene like come hang and be like, Josh, listen, you really, I'm looking at the merchandise. You need to have a bigger logo here. Like, what was
any good Gene interactions?
Yeah, like not so much later on, because we had been around the block now a bunch and everybody was doing their thing. But on the first record, we were just blowing up, you know, and we had never been to Europe. We had never been in an arena tour. So, you know, both we had managers that were brothers. So that's how we got on it. And so talk about a hostile situation. Like, the crew guys are trying to say, oh, you know, Kiss fans are militant. They're going to throw bags of piss at you. They're going to throw darts at you. And I go, nobody better throw a fucking dart at me. I'll jump on them. I don't give a fuck. You know, like, that's like war right there, you know? And so bags of piss and darts, I'm like, you know, I'm getting my armor on to get on stage, you know? And the reality is every time we got on stage, we won everybody over. It was not like that. You know, I mean, we had some weird situations with fans, but other than that, like, there's a lot of Kiss fans that come to Buck Cherry shows to this day. But that being said, like, the first night it's Finland. It's like snowing in dead of winter. I'm like walking through the arena and just kind of like looking at, you know, going down the corridor where all the dressing rooms are. And it's early, you know, it was like, I don't know, like 4 p.m. or 5 or something. And all of a sudden I see Gene and Paul like walking, like they're like 40 feet in front of me and they're coming my way. And I'm like, oh fuck, my inner voice. I'm like, I gotta get away. You know, I just darted into our dressing room, you know, and they're like, I just hear this voice like, don't you turn away. Don't you go away. And I'm like, oh fuck. What did I do? I'm going to get kicked off this tour, you know? And Gene and Paul come in and they're just looking at me and they go, hey, we just want to say, we're really happy that you guys are on tour. We really like your band. And it's really refreshing to have a rock band. And we love the record. I was like, oh, thank you so much. We love you. And we're like, so excited to be here. And, you know, I didn't know what to say, you know, it was really cool. And they were very sweet. And everybody took care of us the whole time. Everybody was cool to us. And, you know, we got to have many sit downs with those guys, you know, usually at catering or whatever. And they were super cool.
Right on. Yeah. They had you on the cruise too, a couple of times, right?
Yeah. We were just recently on a Kiss cruise. That was awesome. Didn't really get to see them that much. You know, I don't know how they kind of, I don't know where they went on that boat, but I never saw them except when they were on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. We just did a cruise with Lamb of God and Testament. There was definitely an area where it was just Lamb of God, Mastodon. So I can imagine there was right. like they have like a chute that they come in or like a special elevator. Gene was never like, listen, Josh, if you see these passes, if you see any lovely ladies wearing these passes, you don't speak to those ladies. You can have these ones with these passes.
Yeah. You know, I never got that from him. You know, every time we interacted, it was, I don't know if it's, you know, our personalities or what, it was not like that, you know, but I've seen him in action like that, you know, and it's pretty funny for sure.
Yeah, we did it. I think it was Sweden Rock with them and Rammstein, and just watching the crew guys.
Yeah, that's dope.
Giving the passes to the babes, and then just seeing like, you know, who's going where, and like babes didn't know what to do. Like, do I wear the Rammstein pass or do I wear the Kiss pass? Like they were torn. I think Rammstein won. Funny. I think they won in the end though for the backstage babe wars. But so let's talk about this tour that you got coming up. It's with Skid Row, the whole tour, right? It's, let's see, starts February 27th, I
think. It's a month. Yeah, I mean, it's a month that got moved from last year because the singer had some, you know, he had to do some testing for his health, and they wanted him to stay there for a month for evaluation. So, like, we had to move it. So it's from last year, we're doing it. It's a whole month, and we've done a lot of shows with them, and it's really a great package. And yeah, it's a good turnout. And so we have a lot of fun together.
Yeah. It seems like a great team up for sure. And that guy, his voice is incredible. And if Bach hears listen, Sebastian, I love you.
I love Sebastian.
Love Sebastian. He's a treasure. He's a Canadian American treasure, but he's been ducking
lovely.
The podcast for too long. He's got to stop ducking me and just come on the podcast. I'm not going to grill him about whatever he doesn't want to talk about. He's a buddy of mine. He's always been down for Hatebreed.
Yeah.
When we were on Download and Axl Rose was trying to throw everybody out of the backstage, Bach was like, dude, that's fucking Hatebreed. We can't throw them out, dude. See, he's the best, but this kid, you got to give it to this kid. He's got pipes. He's got the YouTube crowd. He survived like leukemia or whatever it was. It's a great story.
Yeah.
I love the story. Yes. I like when people win and overcome, man. It doesn't take anything away from Bach to like them both. But, you know, some people, they want to just still be in that whole get them back together with Bach. It ain't happening. It's not happening.
Right. Yeah. I love Sebastian a lot. Every time I see him, you know, he gives me a big hug. He's a lovely guy. I don't know what he's like in a band situation. It's not my business. I don't know why they can't, you know, make that work. But that being said, like you said, you know, Eric is really great. He's a great singer and he's a really nice person, you know, so makes it hard to not like him.
Hey, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com, your one-stop shop for all things heavy. And right now, Indie Merch Store is offering a discount to Josta Show listeners. Use the code JOSTA10 at checkout. You'll see they got all those Carnifex restocks. They got Cattle Decapitation. They got so many good pre-orders and so many awesome limited designs, vinyl. They even got grinders, backpacks, all sorts of apparel. You'll see it when you head on over to IndieMerchStore.com. Use the code JOSTA10. Pre-order that new Unleash the Archers, one of the bands we were trying hard to get them on Milwaukee Metal Fest. Maybe we'll try to get them for 2025. But you'll also see they have the High on Fire Cometh the Storm on colored vinyl. They got a bunch of pre-orders for bands like what was the other one I was just looking at? I was like, oh, I got to get this just strictly based on the name. Abominable. How do you say that? Abominable. Putridity. Abominable Putridity. Great name for a band. Also, Last 10 Seconds of Life. That record's a banger. Like, we just played that on the Patreon show and people were loving it. Head on over to indiemerchstore.com. Use the promo code JOSTA10. And I cannot forget Dunable Guitars. Gotta love Dunable Guitars. Big shout out to Sasha, EJ, and the team. Can't wait to have them at Milwaukee Metal Fest. And right now they are offering JOSTA Show listeners 10% off. Get yourself a new axe. Get a guitar. Get a loud amp. Riff out all day and night on some sick riffs. Go to Dunable Guitars. Use the code MMF24. Big thanks to Dunable. Now back to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like this is a tour that's going to do great. And then I see you got some radio shows and some festivals coming up. But really what I want to talk about is this Rose Tattoo team up, which I think you got to bring
them
to the States. You got it. You got to just bring them to the States. Even if it's like just four shows like you did with AC/DC. Get them, like, do LA, yeah. Chicago, New York. That would be incredible.
That's going to be really fun, man. It's going to be really fun to do it in Australia, you know, where they're from, you know, so we're looking forward to it. Yeah. I mean, if it works out and we can, and everybody, you know how it is, it's like, you got to get everybody to agree. All the chefs in the kitchen, you know, have to want to do it, you know, but I mean, we want to do it. We love doing it. You know, we love, we're like so fired up to collaborate with them and be on tour and do this package. And I'm sure, you know, more will be revealed once we start touring as far as getting up on stage together and stuff like that. You know, it's going to be fun.
They were one that I wanted to get from Milwaukee Metal Fest. It's a festival that I bought that I'm doing now yearly. And I thought they never really, in the old days of the fest, they never really did a ton of rock, but they had like UFO and a couple different rock bands, but a ton of metal people get down for Rose Tattoo. If you put together your own, like you did Crew Fest, you should put together your own fest, like the Rock and Roll Outlaw Fest, and do all of those bands that we really don't ever get to see together in the States.
That'd be cool. You know, I got to talk to Larry about that for sure.
Shout out to Larry. That's Mazer.
Shout out to Larry, the great Larry Mazer. Yeah.
The last time I saw Larry was shout out to Larry. It was Ozfest coming out of where was it? It was like the Ozfest 2018 or whatever, coming out of an elevator. But shout out to Larry. Get Larry, listen to me, Larry. If you listen to this, you get Angry Anderson on a flight. You fly him first class. That's probably the reason why. It's like, if I was Angry Anderson's age, I don't want to get on a 14-hour flight to the States to then do, you know, like the whiskey. Make it a festival. Right. Put them in front of a big, no diss to the whiskey, because I'll go do a bunch of nights at the whiskey. I'll do a residency at the whiskey. But for Angry Anderson and the boys, the Rock and Roll Outlaws, you stack the bill at, do it at the Forum, Buck Cherry, Rose Tattoo, all the fucking rock bands on one, the Rock and Roll Outlaw Fest. I'll invest right now. I'll cut a check, Larry. Call me, Larry.
All right.
Who else would you get on?
Hold you to it.
Like who else? Man. Get what's the AC/DC dude? The band that sounds just like AC/DC. Like when you're on the Europe, they're on every festival. What's that? Get them. They're great.
Oh,
Airborne.
They're from us. Airborne from Australia. Yeah. We've done a lot of shows with them in the UK and love those guys, but I don't know what they can do in the States, you know? But they still doing shows over there, from what I understand.
Yeah. They kill it. One time I went over, they were like headlining and I was like, the place was going bonkers.
Yeah. What people don't know is, and you know, but like, bands can be like huge in different parts of the world and not get arrested in the States. You know, it's weird.
But that's one that I bet people would go to because they're like, we'd never get a chance to see Rose Tattoo and Airborne on the same show. It could be like an event. And then you guys
get, I mean, you would think, I don't know what it translates as far as asses in the seats in America, but yeah, you would think that would be a great,
Now, what's the plan after the Skid Row run? Are you going to Europe besides these shows with Rose Tattoo?
Fuck. No, I mean, we're just in the UK, and I just want to say everybody in the UK and that tour, I got really sick. I just could not. I tried so hard to salvage it and to get through it, but I got that weird chest infection viral shit that was going around. It is brutal. I hope none of you guys get it, because it's been tough for me, you know, getting through that. I mean, I'm in my fourth week from it, and I still feel a tinge of it, you know, and I have been on antivirals and antibiotics. I got really sick over there. So anyways, had to pull out and come home. So I don't know what's going to be going on as far as getting over there. We haven't really talked about that yet. Right now, we're doing Skid Row. And then we're going to do a bunch of fly dates through the summer, because we toured a lot last year. And then we're going to start getting a record together. And I think after November, December-ish, we're going to make another record and drop it beginning of summer.
Okay. And yeah. And you got the Creed cruise too.
Yeah, we're going to be doing the Creed. Really excited to do that. I love those guys. And we're going to do that. The Creed boat tour, it sold out. We're really excited. And what else? Australia with Rose Tattoo, like you were saying, and then probably hit some festivals and fairs and that type of thing.
Have you had to ever turn down a tour that it was like crushed you, like where you just couldn't, you were already committed to something else?
Oh, not that I know of, you know, like everything that's been the dream tour we've made happen, you know, so I don't know, maybe that happened and I didn't know it, you know, that it was on the table and other things were going on and they didn't even bring it to my attention because we couldn't do it. I'm sure that's happened, but not that I know of.
The UK dates that you missed, do you think you'll make them up? Do you remember how many shows it was?
I hope so. It was a really heavy tour in the cold and flu season. I don't know what I was thinking, you know, five shows a week. And hopefully, yeah, there's probably, I want to say like seven shows we missed. So yeah, I want to go over there and do it proper, you know, when it's not the cold and flu season, because it's really, there's so many things that can go wrong over there and you're so far away and it, you know, just all the variables and, you know, we got to do it in a different time period in a year. And I've already talked to Larry about it, you know, so because I hate having to do that kind of stuff. We never cancel shows and it was a heartbreak.
Right on. Yeah. Same. It is brutal though in the winter. Do you get down with the homeopathic stuff or what do you do? Like, do you just go get a Z-pack and hope for the best?
I did everything I could to not have that happen to me. I brought a Z-pack. I brought also Paxlovid just in case I got COVID. So I'm armed with all that shit. I even masked on the plane going over there. So just to try to, you know, make sure I didn't get anything, and boom, like I did two shows and then the third day I had a day off. And I woke up with just a little tickle in my chest and I'm like, fuck, what is this? Is it, you know, I thought maybe it might be acid reflux. I got up and it started coming on like quick. I jumped on the Z-Pack. It did nothing. Right. So I'm on the Z-Pack and I'm feeling like shit and it's not even doing anything and it's coming on stronger. I go get a COVID test and I'm negative and then just started progressing. And then I got this gnarly cough and so on. And then eventually the cough turned into an infection. I was like, at one point at the peak, I wanted just to go to the hospital. I had 101 temperature. I was coughing up like crazy shit. I don't even want to get into it because it's disgusting. I had to get on amoxicillin and ivermectin or whatever. It's like a horse fucking drug that they've given to people for antivirals. And I started getting better, but it wasn't enough to sing this shit, you know, and I had to just make the right decision and come home, you know, and get well, you know, and it was a nightmare.
Wow. Yeah. That sucks. See, I almost had it. I banged it out of me. I feel like by taking this oregano oil and natokinase, I went to the health food store and the lady gave me all this shit and it it fucking took it right out of me. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I was good That's within great. 2 or 3 days. And
you're one of those guys. I hate you. You know, like, it's like, I'm not one of those guys. Like Stevie, my guitar player, who's like my best friend, you know, we've known each other for 35 years. It's like, he can fucking, I'm getting sick and he just takes a nap and sleeps really well. And he's like, oh, I kicked it. I'm like, how the fuck do you do that? Like, I'm like, I start getting sick and I'm really susceptible to like respiratory shit. You know, like I don't get flus, nothing, but I get respiratory shit and it's a killer for a singer, you know? So you like just doing some homeopathic shit and like being 3 days and you're good. I just fucking hate you, you know, but, I wish I could do that. You know, it just doesn't work for me. I wish it did.
Next time, take it a couple days before, you know, you got to fly. There's something with the oregano oil.
It
kills everything. It's nasty. It's gnarly. Like, and you got to have something in your stomach.
What do you do? You just like take it straight.
You don't want to take it straight. You want to get something that's super natural, super clean, super organic. But I was taking vitamin C and a bunch of stuff before. I mean, whatever I had on the Black Label Society anthrax tour, I was not canceling a show. I didn't give a fuck. But I didn't want to get thrown off the tour. And they were really like, they were out everywhere, like looking for dudes. Like if you even sneezed, they were like, all right, I know.
So, it's brutal.
So I just hid. And then I just vitamin C, vitamin D, like 50,000 IUs, not one little pill, 50,000 IUs, like prescription vitamin D.
Wow, that's great.
So that's another one.
I brought all that vitamin D, vitamin C. I'm hammering that. There was one time where I was on the apple cider vinegar tip and I'm doing that shit every fucking morning. You know, I'm really take care of myself, but you know, eventually, you know, and I do cold showers every day, you know, like I'm like, what have I abandoned? You know? And it was like, I stopped cold showers. I did cold showers for a year and then I stopped because I took a warm shower and like, I'm like, oh fuck, this is great. Like, you know what I mean? So I just abandoned the cold showers and I'm like, that's why I got fucking sick, you know? But, it just, you're going to get sick eventually, you know? I mean, you can do everything you can, but I mean, eventually you're going to get something, you know? And I can sing through colds. I've sang with strep throat. I've sang through a lot of shit, you know, migraines. I get migraines, you know, and, I couldn't get around it. You know, I sang a lot of shows sick, but I just couldn't get around it anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hurt myself permanently, you know?
No, for sure. Yeah. And then you got to fly and you don't know what type of inflammation or whatever pressure on your, especially if you get migraines. I couldn't imagine having a migraine and then having to fly.
But it's the worst.
I literally
have Advil on me and every in my car, in my backpack, in side stage. You know, if I start getting a migraine, I got to take 4 Advil right away. Just pound it, you know, or I will get such a violent headache and I will throw up. It's just awful, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's a scary one. I had Anne from Heart, Anne Wilson, on the show. She told me about this Arnica. And I know people from Patreon is going to be like, oh God, he's going to start talking about Arnica again. But listen, I'm telling you that because I scream my fucking head off and I do the podcast and I go, everywhere I go, I don't know how to say like, hey, I got to run. So I end up talking to somebody for fucking 2 hours and like my daughter.
I don't know how you do that.
She don't want to go nowhere with me because it's like, yo, what's up? And then I'm fucking, I'm stuck. But that Arnica, something, it takes the inflammation away. And I've done same as you, like strep is the worst one to do a show through. Or I had staph in my leg and I've never been fucking fatigued. I had staples in my leg and I've never been so fatigued in my life.
I'm so glad you're talking about this because the general public doesn't know what fucking singers go through. And we really do everything we can. Like, so when your favorite band cancels the show because the singer's sick, you know, just have compassion for them. Don't hate on them because they're doing everything they can. You know, it's like, you know what? You got to we got to link up and you got to tell me all this shit so I don't forget it, all the stuff to get, you know, because I want to get on it, you know. I'm always open to new things that may work, you know.
For sure. Yeah. And I've been taking this other one. I just got this black seed oil. This shit is like, it's in the Bible. Like the dude that was selling me on it, he's like, yo, this shit's in the Bible. That's how old, like this, how far back it goes. Like people use the black seed oil. And I have seen an uptick in energy and just, yeah. Cause I'm over here and I'm like 80 miles north of New York City. It's miserable. It's right. Fucking like,
yeah,
it's
like, yeah, it is
18 degrees right now. I'm out here shoveling snow, but I don't want to keep you too long. Cause I know Mike and I were running just a hair late. I feel really bad again. I apologize. And thank you so much for
That's
the time, right. Josh.
That's all right.
And
yeah, my pleasure.
And please, by all means, if you can tell Angry Anderson that they gotta come to the States. I mean, that is so cool that you get to do Australia with Rose Tattoo. I mean, that's like,
you know what, Billy Rowe knows him. He's our guitar player and he knows him. And that's how he came to one of our shows in Australia. And he's like the nicest guy. He's in amazing shape, you know? You know, you should see him. He's like, he's ready to go. I can't wait to see him live.
Yeah. I gotta maybe reach out again. I'll hit up Larry and I'll send you my little,
yeah.
I'll send it to Larry and I'll send you this other black seed oil shit that I got. But I love that you're doing the cold shower or that you were doing the cold showers. Cause
on it. I'm like already 3 days on it, man. And I do the Wim Hof breathing before I get in there. So I heat up my body, my core before I jump in. I just don't just jump in. I get ready for it, you know, but I'm like, I'm not coming back from that, you know, cause I just saw Wim Hof and I don't know if you know who he is. He's the Iceman. But he's like, the cold, I never get cold. I go to the cold so the cold doesn't come to me. I can't even remember when I had a cold. And I'm like, fuck, what am I doing? I got to get back. I got to go to the cold, you know? Yeah. It's hard to stay disciplined because in the winter, that's when it's like really challenging because it gets fucking cold. It's like an ice sheet on your back, you know?
I have a plunge. I just got to start using it.
Do it, you know, because every time I get out of the shower, I'm like, fuck, I feel great. I feel so great. Why did I stop this? You know, I mean, it is like so good for you and it's good for your mental health. It's good for your physical health. It's amazing.
Yeah, I did the polar plunge and that day I was like, man, I could run a fucking 10K right now. And then I fell off. Like that was like over a month ago. So, but yeah, I need to. Everybody says you're more creative, you're able to deal with stressful situations better, you don't sweat like little stupid things.
Yeah.
And great. And yeah, I got to get back on it. Well, Josh, thanks so much. Yeah, and please, if you end up coming with the new record by the end of the year or record a new record and you want to come back on and promote it, we'd love to have you back.
Yes, I'd love that. And thanks for having me. And if I don't see you out there in the mix, you know, hopefully I'll see you again on this or whatever. I'll get your info through Larry and, you know, we'll stay in touch.
For sure. Yeah. I wish the Skid Row dates were coming by me, but I think it's mostly Canada and I think what, like Green Bay. Shout out to Green Bay. We do have some Green Bay people.
Yeah. Yeah. Canada and up in that area. I don't know specifically every single date, but you know, we're always talking about doing more shows with them. So you never know.
And if you get the chance to golf with Snake, you got to, I guess, because Snake says golf is metal. I don't think it's metal at all, but.
I don't golf, man. Golf isn't a sport. I have friends that golf and I'm like, it's silly. Like, what are you doing? But
don't tell Snake that. Don't you? Oh, okay. All right. So tennis.
I play tennis. I'm a legit 4-0 tennis player. I play tournaments. I, you know, I love it.
Oh my. All right. So when we bring our little web show back, metal dudes doing non-metal things, I used to say tennis was like the least metal sport. I want to play you in tennis.
Let's go. Anytime you want to play, let's go. I have my racket on me all the time on the road and anywhere, anytime you want to play, I would love to play.
Great. Because I really liked it. I enjoyed it and I wasn't that bad. Like I'm mediocre at every sport, but tennis, I felt like I could actually, I probably can't hang in there with you, but I was like, I played Mitts from Madball, who's he was an animal. Like this guy is,
yeah,
he's legit, but I would love that. We could film it and that'd be hilarious because I think
that'd be great.
I think tennis, you know, should get more love, definitely more love than golf for sure.
Well, I think Gavin Rossdale, he's like, from what I understand, he's a really good tennis player. Like he was really great when he was young and like he could whip my ass, I'm sure. And I think there's a Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy. I think he plays tennis too. You know, I've always wanted to get like a big rock dude, fucking musician tennis tournament going. So maybe that's something I'll work on.
I'll cool. do it.
Just come in and
do
it. And ball with us. It'd be fun.
Fuck yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much, Josh. I appreciate it, man. All the best. And tell Snake and everybody, don't tell them that golf isn't metal, but tell everybody,
all right.
The Hate Breed guys say what's up.
You got it. I will.
All right, brother. Thanks. Take care.
Be good. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Quick little outro for that ass. And thank you for listening. Thank you for all your support. If you want to donate to the show, it's, $ Jamie Josta on Cash App. Any amount gets you a shout out on the show. Or you can just sign up to the Patreon. You get a ton of bonus content and you'll get your name listed in the credits. If you want to do the executive producer tier, you'll hear all the Josta songs before they come out May 17th. The name of the album is And Josta For All. And you can pre-order it now at martyrstore.net. And while you're over there, get a meet and greet for Milwaukee Metal Fest or get a meet and greet for the Hatebreed Fall Tour. It's all available and at a discount when you use the code JJ10. That's JJTEN, the word, not the number. Thank you to all our sponsors, not only for Milwaukee Metal Fest, but just sponsors of the podcast. You know, Dunable Guitars is making such amazing quality guitars and basses right now, and they're offering 10% off when you use the code MMF24 at dunableguitars.com. The link will be in the show notes. Want to thank them, and also centurymedia.store. No coupon code needed. Big thank you to Century Media. Make sure you get to the fest early. Check out Night Demon. Check out Upon Stone. Check out Skeletal Remains. And check out all their new releases and their pre-orders over at centurymedia.store. Of course, you can do the same at indiemerchstore.com. And indiemerchstore.com is the presenter of the main stage at Milwaukee Metal Fest. And they're going to have a huge booth vending at the fest. So tell them Josta sent you and use the code JOSTA10 at checkout when you go to indiemerchstore.com. And what else do I got to tell you about? I said patreon.com/Josta, gasdigital.com if you want to support the network. Crowbar's out on tour. Kirk's got a solo album coming out. He's going to be coming back on the podcast. We got Danny Diablo coming back on the podcast. We're finally getting the Ice Pick on Spotify, and we're going to actually reprint some merch for you too, and that'll be available at martyrstore.net. We got episode 700 coming up with Steve Vai, which is going to absolutely crush. And yeah, paypal.me/Josta if you want to donate to the show. There's a Venmo too. I think it's Jamie Josta, just Jamie Josta on Venmo. And thank you to everybody who's donated. We'll get your shout outs in there on the next one. And yeah, that's it for now. We'll be back with Danny Diablo. Love you all. Thank you all. Drink your coffee, do your push-ups, listen to fucking Carnifex. Bye-bye. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, AJ Lewis, Garrett Keeping, Dan Smith, Nick Torito, JJ Hernandez, Joe Bartovic, Jason Jarvis, Chris Larice, Alex Smolin, Todd McKee, John Blewett, Richard Miller, Kyle Marg, Nate Leffingwell, Morgan Costner, Mark Tagg, Zapagor Waikato, Niall Scholard, Kathy D'Ambrosio, Justin Steven, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Andy Wilson, Jeffrey Kuhn, Kimo Humalamaki, Jonathan Metis, Brandon Cooper, Matthew Jankowskis, Jamie Kutcher, Ryan Undercoffler, Matt West, Ryan Maurice, Chad Green, Dallas Hendricks, Jacob Ahrensberg, Kenneth Moore, Kona Butterflies, Stephen Helm, Richard McIntosh, Jeff Stevenson, Ryan Williams, Larry Tooley, Dallas Bolin, Brian St, Nathan Rex Madrid, Cameron Hendricks, Scandalous Official, Joe Motson, Let's Talk Resident Evil, Andrew Chase, Guy on the Couch, Chris Winchester, Antonio Reyes, Joe Otson, Dustin Stone, Lee Walker, Ryan Levson, John Henkes, Robert Bushaw, Troy Seal, Mark Horror Armenta, Jay Liberston, Nick Fowler, Mike Horgan, Emma Horgan, Arnorock, Patrick King, Oscar Brumman, Stacy Steineke, Fernando Somoza, Patrick O'Brien, Dominique Zimmer, Ryan Sanders, Lara Snyder, Daniel Berg, Milwaukee Metal Sausage, Adam Boss, Adam Mecklenburg.
Thank you.